A hippo ripped his arm off.
Damn.
Paul Templer is on the show. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Morning. What an amazing story, and thank God you're alive.
Yeah.
Thank you. Bad day at the office.
Right?
Yeah, man. So really what happened?
Back at the time, I was leading photographic safaris on the Zambezi River in Africa and had taken a bunch of clients out. We had some folks from France, some folks from Germany, and we were on a canoe trip, which was beautiful. Late afternoon, you drift on the river, sunshine.
How many people?
The what? Let's see, there were six clients. So four French folks, air crew. Two Germans, and then I had three apprentice guides with
all me. On the same boat or different boats?
Different boats.
Okay.
We're in Canadian style canoes, except for one of the guys, a safety kayaker, was in a little one man kayak.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, perfect day, sun shining, beautiful moment.
Everything's nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Life is good. right up until it isn't. Yeah, we'd been paddling along, and we came across this pod of about a dozen hippos. They were just sitting there, like wallowing in the shallows. And so I knew this was something to be careful of, and so I got about as close as I wanted to get. One of the people in my canoe, this lass from Germany, she was quite nervous. She had been on a similar adventure before, and they had been chased by a hippo. So she was there under some duress. Her husband had talked her into it. Anyway, we got as close as I wanted to get to these hippos, pulled the group together, and started giving them some fun facts, talking about how big they are, how heavy they can get, making it relative. Fully grown bull hippo, about the same size and weight as the Land Rover we'd just driven in on.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, there's always someone on one of these trips who's done a little research and they throw up the fun fact, is it true hippos kill more people every year than any other animal? And that is true. So once that's out in the open there, it was probably time to move on. So there was this, I could see.
Did you know that fact before the person said that out loud?
Yeah.
You did.
It's
and you saw the hippos and you didn't think, let's get the hell out of here.
Now's a good time to move.
You're like, let's talk about the hippos.
On that note,
let me give you some fun facts.
Right. How to get away.
Yeah. Then this guy reminds you.
Right.
You're like, oh, yeah, that's right. You're right.
And the hippo heard him.
Let's go.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, now I've got a cunning idea.
Thanks a lot. I was wondering what to do.
Yeah.
I forgot
about that. Thanks for reminding me. We should go.
I'm just going to hang out here in the wallows.
Right. So I'm like, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to follow. I could see just by the way the water was breaking that there was this narrow channel. I'm like, okay, follow me exactly. To all the guys in the canoes, and we'll go around the hippo. So I went first, second canoes following me, safety kayakers right next to us, and all seems well. Third canoe's taking his time a little bit, not really sure what's going on. So I got to this place where I thought, okay, we'll just drift and let him catch up. Unfortunately, have no idea what happened, but the next thing I just hear this, like, poof, and that's the sound of a hippo hitting the back of a canoe.
Oh, like, no. Oh. Bad, bad, bad.
Not good.
The back of your canoe?
Of this canoe that's behind me.
The trailer, number three.
The one that's trailing.
The trailer,
yeah. Number three. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Did you like that person? Because I'm thinking.
Right. Well,
sorry, man.
Sucks for you. Got to keep going.
We just told you.
Right.
We just told you.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I turned and I saw him, the guy who was paddling it, flying through the air. He had been catapulted. His canoe's like on the top of this hippo that's underneath it. The two clients are in the front of the canoe holding on for dear life, and somehow the canoe manages to land upright. So in my mind, I'm like, ugh. So quickly assess the situation. The apprentice guide who had been paddling is now in the river, drifting towards this female hippo and a calf.
Oh, no.
Yeah, not good.
Not good. There's this hippo that's just attacked the canoe that I can't see. Mm. That's not good. That canoe's upright drifting. And so, okay. First things first, I start instructing. Okay, everyone get to the rocks. Safety kayak starts working. The other apprentice starts working. Everything's going according to plan. I tell the one apprentice, rescue the two clients who are still upright in the canoe. My job is to get the guy in the water out.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, he's drifting towards this female and her calf. So I start paddling towards him, and I don't have time to drop my clients off. So I tell them, you need to just listen and do what I say.
Oh, man. So, I don't want to be in your boat right now.
No.
I thought it was fun. I'm in the big guy's boat.
Right. Get me to shore.
No, I don't want to be in this guy's boat anymore.
And your shorts.
This is no longer a good time.
No.
Hungry hippos.
No, yes. Can't you just drop us off?
Right, then go back.
We didn't really like that guy anyway.
Come on, you hated him. You said so.
I was paddling towards the guy in the river. His name was Evan. Paddling towards Evans, I'm like, hey, hang in there, I'm coming to get you. And I can see he's starting to freak out.
Yeah.
And rightly so. And suddenly I see this wave coming towards me. It's like those old movies where you see a torpedo coming towards a ship. And I've been doing this for a while, and I knew what that meant. That meant there was a hippo coming at high speed right towards me. Fortunately, I also knew that if I slapped the water with the blade of my paddle, that noise would turn it. So I slapped the water, and just before it hits me, turn. Now I know there's some urgency. So swing my boat around. It's kind of a made for Hollywood moment. I'm leaning over.
So there wasn't urgency before? Like, it's more urgent now. Why? Yes. Because this means they're not leaving. They're staying. They're going to mess with you guys.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, hippos are vegetarian unless it's really, really, really stressed. Typically, they're not seeing you as a meal, but this hippo obviously hadn't read the manual.
Okay.
And so as I'm leaning over to grab a hold of Evan, he's leaning out of the water, suddenly just in a blink of an eye, my world went just dark. And quiet. It happened so fast. I had no idea. The next thing I know, I'm in this dark, quiet place. It's feeling kind of slimy, and I have no idea what's going on. I try to move around. I can't. I manage to get one hand free, and moving around, I feel the bristles on a hippo's snout. So at least now I know where I am. I'm head first, up to my waist, down the hippo's throat.
Oh, boy.
Not good news.
No.
How did it, what did it jump you from behind?
It came right up between us. Guys who were watching said it came right up between us, jaws agape, and just plucked me out of the canoe. It happened so fast, I didn't even see it.
Wow.
You were in a live-action game of Hungry, Hungry Hippo.
Seriously, yeah, right. You were one of the marbles, yep. Look at the blue one.
No. Yeah. You know, the weirdest thing, there were a few weird things that day, but one of them was my first reaction when I felt the bristles was relief. I was like, oh, thank God I'm not up to my waist on a crocodile's throat.
Okay.
That was
there's an upside, yeah.
Life.
I don't know if there is an upside.
Worst case scenario.
Right.
Next, I knew I needed to get out of there, and I couldn't. Whatever I did, I was wedge tight, but at the time, I was like 200 pounds, not a small guy, and I'm guessing wedged on his throat, not comfortable. So he starts spitting me out, and I managed to grab a hold of the tusk, pull myself out, burst to the surface, and I come face to face with the guy who I'd been trying to rescue. I'm like, we need to get out of here.
Good thinking.
I feel like everything that's just happened is obvious. That doesn't need to be said.
Well, you know, just wanted to draw the point across in case he's wondering, should we just hang out now?
In case there was any doubt.
Right. He's looking at you saying, you were just in its mouth. Yes, I agree. Let's go.
I'm sure you've been having a good time. Me? No. And like, we should leave.
Yeah, we should do lunch before we got to come lunch.
Wow.
Right. So I start swimming, and my spidey sense say, ugh, oldest not well. I turn and I look back, and Evans wasn't going anywhere. I mean, his eyes were like saucers as he struggled to stay afloat. I think terror and panic had just quite literally overwhelmed him.
Yeah.
Oh, so I turned and I swim back, and I'm just moving in for your classic lifesaver's hold to grab a hold of him to drag him to safety when, wham, I'm hit from below. Once again, I'm up to my waist down the hippo's throat. So this time my legs are trapped, I'm feet first, and my hands are free. And the hippo starts thrashing me. And I try to go for my gun. I carried a 357 Magnum revolver with me.
Nice.
Just in case something like this ever happened. And
didn't occur to you to pull it before.
Right.
You're handling this, by the way. Like, if I have a tour guide, this, yeah, you're the guy I want. Yeah. All right, go ahead.
So I try to go for the gun, but I can't get a hold of it because the hippo is just thrashing me. And all I managed to do during that phase of the attack, frankly, was just to stay alive. He was just... Anyway, he spits me out again. This time when I come to the surface, I look around, no sign of Evans. I think, phew, that means Mac, one of the other apprentices, or Ben, the other apprentice, must have rescued him whilst I'm busy distracting this beast. And I think, okay, but I got to get out of here. And I'm swimming towards the rock where I sent everyone, where they're sitting there in safety just watching this all unfold. And I'm making pretty good progress. When I look over, I'm doing freestyle, and mid-stroke, I just see the monster charging in towards me. I can just remember his mouth wide open as he kind of zeroed in and then scored this direct hit. As he bit down, tusks bore through like my chest and my side. And now I've got my arms, head, and shoulders outside one side of his mouth. And from my waist down, I got like my thighs and my knees and my bottom of my legs hanging outside the other. And now the hippo decides to go nuts. So, I mean, he just starts thrashing me around. I remember at one point he throws me up into the air, and I did this crazy sort of twist. And when he caught me, he bit down so hard, I could have sworn he was going to chomp me in half.
No.
He threw you up and then caught you?
Yeah. Like tossing a pin. Yeah. When,
that's pretty good.
Yeah.
When hippos get into fights, their strategy, their MO is just to destroy. It's not pretty. It's just let's freaking
annihilate. Destroy. Yeah.
Often they'll be fighting either with other hippos or with crocs. So they're pretty good at it. Like one of the clients said it's cliche, but said it was just like watching a vicious dog trying to rip apart a rag doll. For me, though, I was quite fortunate because everything slowed down into slow motion.
Exactly.
So I figured, So when we went underwater, I would hold my breath. And when we came up onto the surface, I'd suck in the air. And I figured out that if I held onto the tusks that were boring through me, then my flesh didn't tear so much as he shook me about. So it became this weird sort of grotesque rodeo. And then at one point, hippo must have needed a break because he just stopped and dove for relatively deep water. And this led to quite possibly... one of the most surreal moments of my life. I remember lying at the bottom of the river, and I was in it, the hippo's mouth, and I was looking up. Tusks were boring through me, and I could see different shades of like green and yellow. I could see the sunlight shimmering on the water's surface, and I could see my blood mingling with the water. And I just remember wondering, I wonder if I'm going to bleed to death or drown. And then wondering, I wonder who can hold their breath the longest. And the two of us just sat there at the bottom of the river. After a while, the hippo was like, enough of this. Went to the surface, spat me out again. This time when I came to the surface, one of my mates, Mac, he was the safety kayaker, just incredible courage. He had paddled in, saw where I had last gone down and where there were some bubbles, and there he was with his kayaks. I managed to grab a hold of the handle on the boat's nose, and Mac dragged me back towards this rock where he and the rest of the clients had been observing this, and some relative safety. Whilst he did so, the hippo just kept hitting us. But fortunately, when we got onto the rocks, just because of the hippo's physiology, he couldn't chase us up onto the rocks. So he just sat in the river watching us, waiting for us. Looking across at my clients and trying to assure them, like, all right, folks, everything's going to be okay.
Is your arm still attached at this point? You still have your arm?
That's a relative term.
Okay. It's still attached, but not really.
Barely.
Okay.
Man, that was part of the problem, because there I am trying to reassure them, and they're looking at me, and I'm like dead man walking.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got, like, my one arm is still kind of attached, but, like, from the elbow down, it's just been, I think the medical term is degloved.
Oh, God.
Then from the elbow up, it's just crushed, and then I've got, like, holes in my lung, and it turns out when I got to the hospital, I had 38 major bite wounds.
Oh, my God.
So we did what we could. My apprentices were really good medics, so we did some MacGyver stuff, because my first aid kit, by about this stage, was drifting off over Victoria Falls, which was less than a mile away. So we, like, tore up some clothes and tried to tourniquet some stuff, and we used saran wrap to seal a punctured lung.
Oh, my God.
We did what we could, but now we got ourselves a problem, because it's getting dark. And we're in a part of the river that there are a lot of crocodiles in.
Oh, boy.
And I've got one man the guy's trying to rescue, either dead or injured. But either way, if he's injured, we need to find him.
Oh, yeah, we don't know where Evan is right now, right?
Right. We got this angry hippo still sitting there. And as I mentioned, it's getting dark. And I know it's going to be a long time before anyone misses us, and longer still before they start looking for us. And who knows what could happen there. So got to take some action. So I decide, okay, get Mac, the safety kayaker, stay here with the client. I speak to Ben, the other guy, and I'm like, listen, mate, you need to load me into your canoe, and you need to paddle, because I can't paddle. And we need to follow the current.
And he was like, come on, you can't paddle? Really? You're going to be assisting now?
You got one arm. You got one good arm. Use your legs. Kick.
Wow.
Yeah. How bad you want to get back?
It's unbelievable you're still calling shots here and really calm and
coherent.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah.
I only have about a minute, unfortunately. Yeah. I can listen to you talk for the rest of the day. But so Evan never made it? Or did
Evan never made it. No, he never. They found his buddy. It turns out he had drowned. Wasn't a scratch on him.
Wow.
Wow.
That's a bummer. Yeah. It's interesting that the person who died just died from freezing in fear, and the guy who lived, man, should have been dead like 8 different times, maybe 10.
Got the crap kicked out of him, yeah.
Really, really unbelievable.
Yeah.
Really unbelievable story. But before I let you go, after this amazing story, I wanted to talk to you about what you're doing this month.
Okay. I'm actually in Marrakesh right now. I'm heading out. I'm doing a charity run to raise some money to help special needs kids and their families. I'm about to run the Marathon de Salvo. It's the equivalent. It's a 7-day ultra marathon. It's like the equivalent of 6 marathons in 7 days with all your food, all your equipment on your back, and you're running through the Sahara Desert.
Oh my God.
You are one badass.
Seriously, man.
Tough cookie.
Right.
So, yeah, we're hoping to raise some money. It's in honor of my daughter, Erin. It's through a 501c3. The program's called Erin's Light. She unfortunately died at the beginning of COVID. She was 15. And
very sorry.
This is just a little way to try and do something cool in her memory.
Man, you are.
And help a lot of people along the way.
We've talked to a lot of people on this show over the decades, and you are one that stands out.
Seriously.
Wow.
Right?
You are something else.
Indestructible, man.
Indestructible. Paul, we want to help with this, anything to honor Aaron in the future. So please keep us in mind and don't be a stranger.
Hey, much appreciated. I appreciate you guys taking the time to speak with me.
Oh, man,
thank you.
What a story.
Yeah.
Thank you, Paul.